Welcome to the GCSE PE Study Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in this episode, we're diving deep into one of the most important topics in the psychology section of your OCR GCSE physical education course, arousal and the inverted U theory. Whether you're revising for your written exam or just trying to make sense of why nerves can help or completely derail your performance, this episode has you covered. Stick with me for the next 10 minutes, and you'll walk away with everything you need to nail this topic. Let's start with the basics. What actually is arousal? In sports psychology, arousal is defined as a physiological and psychological state of alertness and readiness. Think of it as your body and mind's engine. It can be revving at low speed, high speed, or somewhere in the middle. It's important to understand that arousal is not the same as anxiety, although the two are related. Arousal is a neutral state. It can be positive or negative, depending on how you interpret it. For your exam, when you see the word arousal, think, how activated is the performer's nervous system right now? Now, the inverted U theory. This was proposed by Yerkes and Dodson back in 1908, and it remains the cornerstone of arousal theory at GCSE level. The theory states that as arousal increases, performance also increases, but only up to a certain point. That point is called the optimal arousal level. Beyond that optimal point, if arousal continues to rise, performance begins to gradually decline. When you draw this on a graph, the shape you get is an inverted U, like an upside-down letter U or a hill. That's where the name comes from. Let's talk about the graph in detail, because drawing it correctly is worth marks in your exam. Your vertical axis, the y-axis going upwards, must be labeled performance. Your horizontal axis, the x-axis going across, must be labeled arousal. The curve starts low on the left, rises to a peak in the middle, and then falls back down on the right. The peak of the curve represents the optimal arousal zone, the sweet spot where performance is at its best. To the left of the peak, the performer is under-aroused. They lack focus, motivation, and intensity. To the right of the peak, the performer is over-aroused. They become anxious, tense, and their technique breaks down. Critically, and this is a mark-winning point, the decline after the peak is gradual, not sudden. If you write that performance drops suddenly or catastrophically, you'll lose marks because that describes a different theory called catastrophe theory, not the inverted U. Now here's where it gets really interesting and where the higher mark questions live. The optimal arousal level is not the same for every performer or every skill. It shifts depending on three key variables: the type of task, the skill level of the performer, and their personality type. Let's take task type first. Fine skills and complex skills require a lower optimal arousal level. Fine skills involve small, precise movements. Think of an archer drawing a bow, a snooker player taking a shot, or a gymnast performing a balance. These skills demand high levels of concentration and precise motor control. If arousal is too high, the performer becomes tense and jittery, and those fine movements fall apart. So for fine and complex skills, the peak of the inverted U curve sits towards the left. Lower arousal is better. Gross skills and simple skills, on the other hand, require a higher optimal arousal level. Gross skills involve large muscle groups and powerful movements. Think of a rugby player making a tackle, a weightlifter performing a clean and jerk, or a sprinter exploding out of the blocks. These skills benefit from high energy, aggression, and physical intensity. So for gross and simple skills, the peak of the inverted U curve sits towards the right. Higher arousal is better. When you answer exam questions, always be specific. Don't just say playing football. That's too vague and examiners won't award full marks. Instead, say taking a penalty, a fine skill requiring low arousal, or making a sliding tackle, a gross skill benefiting from higher arousal. Specificity earns marks. The second variable is skill level, whether the performer is a novice or an expert. A novice, someone who is still learning a skill, requires a lower optimal arousal level. Why? Because they need to consciously think through each step of the movement. They're still processing information, making decisions, and monitoring their technique. High arousal interferes with this conscious processing and causes errors. An expert or autonomous performer has practiced the skill so many times that it has become automatic. They don't need to think about it consciously. Because of this, experts can tolerate and even benefit from higher levels of arousal without their performance suffering. For AO3 marks, you need to explain this link between arousal, information processing, and skill level. Examiners are looking for that causal explanation, not just the statement. The third variable is personality type, specifically whether someone is an introvert or an extrovert. This links to the reticular activating system, or RAS, which is the part of the brain that regulates our baseline level of arousal. Introverts naturally have a higher baseline level of arousal in their RAS because they're already quite activated internally. They need less external stimulation to reach their optimal level. Too much external arousal, like a loud crowd, a high-pressure environment, pushes them over their optimal point and performance declines. Extroverts are the opposite. They have a lower baseline RAS arousal. They need more external stimulation to reach their optimal level, which is why extroverts often thrive in loud, high-energy environments. So, introverts peak at lower arousal, extroverts peak at higher arousal. Remember this with the phrase, introverts are already buzzing inside. They don't need more fuel. Extroverts need the crowd to fire them up. Right, let's move into exam tips and the most common mistakes candidates make, because this is where marks are won and lost. Mistake number one, swapping the axes on the graph. This is incredibly common and will cost you marks immediately. Performance goes on the vertical y-axis, arousal goes on the horizontal x-axis. Practice drawing this graph until it's automatic. Mistake number two, confusing inverted U theory with drive theory. Drive theory says that performance increases linearly with arousal. The more aroused you are, the better you perform, with no upper limit. That is wrong for the inverted U. The inverted U says there is a peak and performance declines after it. If you mix these up in an exam, you'll lose significant marks. Mistake number three, describing the post-peak decline as sudden or catastrophic. As I mentioned, that's catastrophe theory. For the inverted U, the decline is always gradual. Use the word gradual in your answer. Mistake number four, being too vague with examples. Examiners want you to name a specific skill or action, not just a sport. An archery shot is better than archery. A rugby tackle is better than rugby. The more specific your example, the more convincing your answer. Mistake number five, not applying the three variables. Many candidates describe the basic inverted U curve correctly, but then fail to apply it to task type, skill level, or personality. For any question worth more than two marks, you need to apply at least one of these variables. Now let's look at command words, because knowing what the examiner is asking for is half the battle. If the question says, identify, give a brief, factual answer, one or two words or a short phrase, no explanation needed. If it says, describe, say what happens using subject-specific vocabulary. For example, as arousal increases, performance improves until the optimal level is reached, after which performance gradually declines. If it says, explain, you must say how or why. Link, cause and effect. For example, a novice requires lower arousal because they must consciously process information during skill execution. High arousal disrupts this cognitive processing, leading to errors. If it says analyze, break the concept down into its components and discuss each one. Consider task type, skill level, and personality separately. If it says evaluate, make a judgment. What are the strengths and limitations of the inverted U theory? For example, you might note that it's a useful model, but oversimplifies the relationship between arousal and performance, which catastrophe theory addresses more precisely. Now for our quickfire recall quiz, cover up your notes and test yourself. Question one, what are the two axes on the inverted U graph? Performance on the vertical axis and arousal on the horizontal axis. Question two, does performance decline gradually or suddenly after the optimal point in the inverted U theory? Gradually. Question three, would a novice or an expert require a higher optimal arousal level? An expert, because their skills are automatic and they can tolerate more arousal without disrupting performance. Question four, does an introvert or an extrovert require a higher optimal arousal level? An extrovert, because they have lower natural RAS arousal and need more external stimulation. Question five, name one fine skill and one gross skill from sport. Fine skill example, an archery shot, a snooker pot, a golf putt. Gross skill example, a rugby tackle, a sprint start, a weightlifting clean. Question six, what theory is being described if performance drops suddenly after the optimal point? Catastrophe theory, not inverted U theory. How did you do? If you got all six, you're in great shape. If you stumbled on any, go back and review that section. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. The inverted U theory proposed by Yerkes and Dodson states that performance increases with arousal up to an optimal level, then gradually declines. The graph has performance on the vertical axis and arousal on the horizontal axis. The optimal arousal level varies based on three factors: task type, fine and complex skills need lower arousal, gross and simple skills need higher; skill level, novices need lower arousal, experts can handle higher; and personality, introverts need lower arousal, extroverts need higher. In your exam, always use specific sporting examples. Always describe the post-peak decline as gradual, and never confuse this theory with drive theory or catastrophe theory. That's it for today's episode. You've got this. Go draw that graph, practice those examples, and walk into that exam with confidence. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.